humility. That is our topic for today. Humility. What does it mean to live a humble Christian life? This morning, Jesus tells us a parable. He tells it to some people who trusted in themselves, it is said, that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, he says. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, says, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. God, I thank you that I am not like thieves and rogues and adulterers, or even like this man, this guy over here, the tax collector. I fast twice a week, he says. I give a tenth of all my income. Now, can you imagine someone coming up here and praying like that during the prayers of the people in a few moments' time? Lorna, can you imagine getting up and saying that for the prayers of the people? God, we thank you that we come to Holy Trinity Pembroke and that we aren't like other people. We're not thieves, nor rogues, nor adulterers. We're not like those silly spiritual but religious people who you meet at the grocery store but who'll never darken the doors of a church. No, thank you, God, that we're good Christian folk. Thank you, God, that we put money in envelopes and that we bake apple pies and that we go to pumpkin auctions and that we give up 3 days of our time to go to synod. Thank you, God, for us. I don't think so. Of course we don't pray like that when we're gathered together in worship. I hope none of us pray like that when we're alone either. And part of me sincerely doubts whether the Pharisees ever prayed like that either. This is a parable, after all. What Jesus is offering us this morning in the Gospel of Luke is not an eyewitness account. It's not some report back on some scene he saw playing out in front of the temple last week. This is a story. It's a sacred story. It's a story full of hyperbole and exaggeration and just a little bit of juxtaposition. It's a sacred story that Jesus is telling us to try and awaken some wisdom within us, to awaken in us some deeper understanding of just who God is, who we are, and how we as followers of Jesus are called to be in relationship with God and in relationship with one another. So no, we don't get up here on a Sunday morning and say, thank you, God, that I'm not like this person. Thank you, God, that I'm not like my boss. Thank you, God, that I'm not like my teacher. Thank you, God, that I'm not like my annoying cousin. We don't do that on a Sunday morning. But how often in life do we deceive ourselves? Do we deceive ourselves into thinking that we know best? How often do we privately think to ourselves, you know, that person's a real moron. That person's a real twit. That person has no idea what they're doing. They regularly screw things up left, right, and center. If only they would just get out of the way, we think to ourselves sometimes. If only I had a chance to be doing what they're doing, I'd do it differently. I'd do it right the first time. How often do we tell ourselves those little deceptions within the quietness of our hearts? How often do we fool ourselves into believing that we have all the answers? How often do we forget that we too are fallible? We too are imperfect. We too are entirely dependent upon the life-giving grace of God for every step, every blink, every breath we take on this earth. Sometimes you need a little bit of juxtaposition to tease that wisdom out. What's more, how often do we turn to God and actually acknowledge that vulnerability? How often do we put ourselves into the incredibly holy space of bringing everything that is weighing us down in this world before the God of heaven and earth and say like the man in the parable this morning, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, I can't do it all on my own. God, I need help. Humility, Christian humility at its core, is the admission that we cannot live this life on our own. It is the recognition that we will never have all the answers. We'll never be able to figure all these things out. We'll never have the full picture. And our whole existence, our whole salvation, is entirely dependent on the mercy of God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That is the wisdom of a humble Christian heart, my friends. And not only is humility the recognition that we need God, but in Christ we are reminded that humility is equally the recognition that we need each other. We need each other. When the Pharisee says, "Thank God I'm not like this guy. Thank God I am not like this tax collector," he is effectively saying, "I don't need him. I don't need to be in relationship with him." And yet, who are we to say such things as followers of Jesus Christ? Who are we to say such things when we believe that the God who transcends the limits of our universe, who transcends the limits of our understanding, is constantly dwelling in relationship? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I started this sermon. God exists, we believe, in Trinity, the Holy Trinity for which this beautiful space is named. God is constantly in relationship. And our God is so humble, and so completely self-giving that in Jesus God says, "I want to be in relationship with you. No more than that. I need to be in relationship with you. I need you," God says to us in Jesus, "just as much as you need me." How about that? God who actually needs us. God needs us to be Christ's hands and feet in this world, we sometimes say. God needs us to be agents of healing and reconciliation and ambassadors of God's grace. God does indeed need us just as much as we need each other. When we come up front, when we approach the altar later this morning as a church family for communion, I'd like you to do something for me. I'd like you to look to the person who is on your left and look to the person who is on your right. Look to the person in front of you and be aware of the person who is behind you. Know that you need them all. Think of the person who last gave you a hug as you walk up for communion this morning. Then think of the person with whom you last had a fight. Think of the dozens of unknown people who you passed on the road as you made your way through the rain to church this morning. And finally, I want you to look down at your hands as you stretch them out to receive communion. Look down at your hands as you stretch them out and symbolize with this act for all to see that you need God. You desire God. You love God. Look down at your hands and know that God needs those hands too. God loves those hands too. Amen.